Hello, 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 and welcome to episode number 38 of 5 Star Potential, a weekly Football Manager podcast brought to you by WeStream FM. On this week's pod, we'll be chatting all about everything affiliation. That's going to be our team meeting for this week. But first, I better introduce you to my co-hosts, Mr. Kurt Dizzle. How are you?
Very well, sir. How are you?
I'm grand, thank you very much. My voice is much better than it was last week. So hopefully less pauses, which would be marvellous if we could cut those out.
Fewer pauses.
Bite me. Mr. Joe, hello, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to be here again.
Marvellous. Your presence is always requested and gladly received. Mr. Dupe, welcome.
Welcome.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
I mean, you've really helped me out there.
Good to have you back, Dupe.
You sound like you really want to be here.
Let's hope he's on call.
Yep.
And rounding us off is Mr. Dave Azzopardi once more. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir. I'm not going to be as blunt as Dupe, but yeah. Hello.
Hiya.
Excellent. Mr. Kurt Dizzle, do you want us to get started off with some save updates, please?
Sure thing. So still at Forest, obviously, in season 5. We've got 3 games left of the season. The dream of lifting the FA Cup was crushed by Man United in the semi-final, despite us using the cheat tactic of going 3 up top, which we've done throughout the competition, because I thought, you know, let's prove a point. 3 up top, we'll win everything. But Man United still beat us because they're ridiculous in my save, as they are in a lot of people's saves, I think. We're currently in a race for 6th in the league. So it's, yeah, like I said, I mean, I touched on the fact we'd regressed slightly last season. And in terms of points, we're not too far off where we were last season. I think we were quite lucky to get 4th, given the fact we only had 64 points last season. And this year we're on 58 with 3 games to go. But only in a race for 6th. So what I thought was a season where we'd gone backwards, actually we've probably just kind of plateaued slightly. So some improvement and recruitment will be required in the summer, I think.
Have you got Mucho's dollars to spend?
Transfer budget is yet to be, it's yet unknown. So fingers crossed. But I think we've only got about 40 million in the bank. So we'll see once prize money and stuff like that kicks in at the end of the season. But I've sort of got my eye on a couple of players already on positions I think we can improve on. So hopefully the summer will be fruitful.
If you sign Vargas, you have got one hell of a player.
It's a funny one, you know, because I've just started playing like a 4-2-3-1. With Gribbin as an advanced playmaker, but playing from the left-hand side. And watching him play that role is really, really fun to watch. Like, he takes up really good positions, finds space. The only thing that lets him down sometimes is his decision-making, and his mentals is kind of where he's weak, whereas Vargas is, you know, as good as Gribbin in other areas, but he also has the mentals as well. So I kind of feel like they'll play the role in quite a similar way, but Vargas will make the right choices more often than Gribbin does.
Marvellous. How much did you sign Gribbin for in the first place? Are you still loaning him out? I've seen him play in your team. I just haven't paid that much attention when it comes to like the squad screen, so I've never really noticed or known whether you've signed him or not.
We bought him, I think it was in January in season 1. For £550,000, so he's turned out to be a bit of a bargain.
That's crazy. I think I signed him for that amount on FM17, but bear in mind this was like 3 seasons in and United had never played him, whereas your first season, I think when I've tried to put in a similar sort of bid for him, they always reject it, guaranteed.
Yeah, I get quite a few people come in the chat and just say, how'd you get Griffin for that much? You must have cheated. Or some, you know, other insightful comment, but yeah, $550,000 in the first season, so obviously very lucky to do that, but that was on the original database, remember, so maybe that makes a difference.
I think there's a few weird and wonderful things that happen on the original database, but never mind. Mr. Dave Azzopardi, what's going on with Wolves?
I can't remember where I was last last week, I think I had announced that I was in the Europa League final. That has now been played, and it is at the time of recording. It will be going up tomorrow. So by the time the pod comes out, it will be released. Do I ruin the result on here, just in case?
What if the video's already been released, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, but what if people want to watch it?
First result or second result?
Well, no, I was actually winning 3-0 at half time, and then the thing, it was recording at like 2 frames a second. I don't know what was wrong with my PC, so I called it quits, a reset, and we ended up winning 3-1 in the end. We were 1-0 down at half time. We changed a few things, and even on the video, there's a part of the game where we're 1-0 down, and Pellegrini's having an absolute shocker. He's on a 6.1. And I was half tempted to sub him off, and then I actually said in the video, you know what, I'm going to leave him on because sometimes it's just something about him. He could have the worst game ever but still pop up with a goal. The next highlight, ball comes in, he heads it in to make it 1-1. So, but yeah, I've only just played that game, to be fair, so I've only really advanced one game in the last week. But now we can focus on, obviously, next season. I really want to start pushing towards a league title because I think we only finished 4 points adrift of the title this year, and Champions League, our first year in the Champions League as well. So, got plenty of money. I'm going to do a season review as well for the first time in the series, so people that haven't really watched much of it can catch up and so on. I had a few people asking me as well to see where players were from the first season, so it's a good chance to catch up on all of that, I think.
So you've made a fair amount of progress anyway, so it probably makes sense to
Yeah, of course.
Marvellous. Mr. Dupe, what's going on in Italy?
So yeah, we I don't think I've been on since actually taking charge of Roma. We've started a new stream, save Roma. It's pretty obvious, to be fair, as I said that. We're only about 5 games in, to be fair. We haven't lost in the league yet. We've drawn a couple, won 4. Highlight of the winning was actually against Napoli, which we've beaten 4-1 at Napoli's ground. So it was a very good result for us. We're playing 5 at the back as well, trying to go back to a little bit of Italian roots, maybe. We lost our first game in the Champions League against Bayern Munich. I say lost. I would say bottled it. We're 2-0 up. We're about 20 minutes gone. And we decided, actually, we don't want to beat Bayern at Bayern Munich Stadium. We decided to still let them come back in. And they actually won 3-2 in the end. But, you know, some say bottle jobbing. I say character building, to be perfectly honest.
I would say failing to deal with advancing fullbacks, but hey.
Anyway. But yeah, we've kept the squad very much what it is. We brought Kasper Dolberg in and De Ligt. Two very structure heavy deals, but you know, I think they're gonna be very good players, and I'm really enjoying playing with Nainggolan, who literally will not do anything to help whatsoever. No tutoring, won't talk to anybody, he literally just turns up with a fag in his hand, plays some football, and then goes out. He's a tosser.
So, a great way to man-manage your squad there, Duke. Well done.
Well, that, genuinely, he was one of the reasons why I wanted to take charge of Roma. Never managed him. When I've tried to be a bigger club and tried to sign him, they always want a ridiculous amount. So I thought, you know what? I'll go into Roma. I'll manage him. Yeah, regretting that.
What's his personality?
Knob. to be perfectly honest, Kurt, I haven't got it up in a while, so I wouldn't know. But next time I look, I'll have a look. I think I can't. I'd be guessing, to be honest.
Marvellous, Mr. Friday Night FM. What's going on in the world of West Ham?
Well, I just wondered that. Had I talked about West Ham last week?
Or I can't was remember I still at Swansea? Myself, to be honest.
No,
I've got a feeling, because I was off work on Thursday, it might have been Thursday night. So, yes, obviously finished with Swansea, 6th, which I think was a brilliant result from, you know, where they were the season before. Saw that West Ham hadn't picked up a win pretty much all year. They got relegated in 20th place. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to resign from Swansea and wait for the West Ham job to come free. Took till December-ish time for into the following season before Paul Lambert lost his job. Obviously, I went for it, got it. And I've done quite a lot since then. Obviously, took them back up the league. Thought that I'd got automatic promotion only for Javier Hernandez at Leeds to score 100 and fifth minute injury time equaliser to kind of allow Leeds to get the automatic promotion, so I had to go through the playoffs. Played Blackburn in the playoff final, thought I'd lost the penalty shootout because we couldn't take penalties, only for Joe Rankin Costello to miss what would have been the game-winning penalty for Blackburn. And then,
is it dependable?
And then obviously, yeah, we went on to win that, gone up to the Premier League. Normal rules apply for me. Get rid of all the deadwood, start again and see how we do. And so far, it's going okay. Kind of everything that I've kind of wanted to do has happened in terms of results. You know, I'm not expecting to pick up points against the big boys, but obviously I want to make sure that I'm taking points against the teams that, you know, we're hoping to be in and around come the end of the season.
I think if anyone wants to see how deep you can get into Football Manager, you should be following Joe on Twitter, which is at Friday Night FM, because he's got his planned spreadsheet out of points where he expects to gain or lose, depending on, and it's that level of depth that I don't think that many tend to go into, like that level of planning, and so he's almost got the lay of the land in terms of his own personal target before he even has the board discussion about where they want to finish, which I think's absolutely tremendous.
What's your projected points for the season, Joe?
56, I think, was what I'd put on there.
Are you ahead of schedule?
I am. At the moment, I'm predicted to get about 86 points, but I've only played about 7 games. So, yes, media predicted 18th finish. I'm looking for an 8th place finish if I can.
Get into the Inter-2 Bob, yeah?
Oh, yeah, we love the Inter-2 Bob.
In terms of my Rovers save, I've not really progressed too far because I've spent quite a lot of time doing a bit of wheeling and dealing in pre-season. We finally reached the start of the season now, and it didn't start too well, to be honest. We lost the first game against Norwich, who went up with us in second place, having been promoted via the playoffs. We brought an absolute shedload of players in. I don't think that's probably helping, mainly down to the fact that I let contracts run out sort of intentionally. We have brought some good quality players in. Whether it's going to be good enough, I don't know. We're relying on two loney strikers at the moment to hopefully do the business for us, but early signs are showing that non-competitive form isn't necessarily the same as competitive form at this point, but we'll see how things go moving forward, I guess. More importantly though, the FM Charity Cup has been and gone now. Yes, Dupe, I have to mention it. One of us won quite significantly. That was me, by the way. 8-2. How does it feel?
It's null and void because you eat 5 guys with a knife and fork, mate.
I don't think that's how it works. You play with 3.
Do you know what? I think it's a brilliant.
Anything you've won with 3 up front.
I genuinely think it was a very good event. I enjoyed myself fully. And it just, I fell in love with it. I feel that the teams maybe weren't as balanced out as they should have been, but apart from that, you know, it was a great day, good bit of banter, nice to actually meet up with you both and meet you in real life, and I enjoyed it was good fun, and congratulations on the victory, dude.
I understand you tried to field 12 players at one point, Deep, is that correct?
To be fair, sometimes I think Nerd had 12 at some times, but they didn't tweet about that, did they? It was very difficult to keep hold of, to be fair, Kay, because it was so hot, and we're trying to keep players rotating and not overheating, and you know, like young players like Dave, you couldn't do 10 or 15 minutes, mate. Do you know what I mean?
How many minutes did you do, Dupe?
4.5, mate. Before I fell over, 2.5.
The other two laying on your ass.
No, actually, I was quite quick to get up, to be fair.
Laying on his head.
I've seen the clips on. It didn't look like you were quick to get up.
I was quite slow to go down, though, wasn't I? You know what I mean? I went down in stages.
It's like a tree falling. But yeah, I think good time was had by all, and hopefully the video will be out at some point. And if it is released by the time the pod is released, then we'll pop the link in the description as well, so you can all check it out in its full glory, I guess. So, moving swiftly on. We've got our team meeting now, which, as I've already said, we're chatting about affiliations. as usual, we put out our poll to see your thoughts, and because it went down so well, we'll be using your thoughts and opinions to kind of structure our discussion about it, because it's only fair. You've put the effort in to sort of either put your two cents across, so we can go from there, really. But 76% of you said that you use them, which is great. I mean, if you don't know what an affiliate is, it's a club that you have an association with, whether they're senior or a parent. So either you're the team that loans players to them, or they loan them to you. And there are a number of different reasons why you might utilise that, but 76% of you said that you do, which is quite resounding, really. So we're going to go ahead and sort of discuss our thoughts using your lots as our trigger points, I guess. So I think a lot of the comments on the poll have sort of rotated around people using them as sort of free loans, particularly in lower league saves. Now, I know I've used them in that sort of scenario, and I'm quite sure Doop has, for one player in particular, but what does everyone else sort of, from past saves, if you haven't had a save on FM18, have you sort of, I guess, exploited that hole in the market, or the other team's sort of depth of under 23 talent?
To be honest, the Nketcher signing was actually nothing to do with an affiliate club. My affiliate club at the time was actually United, who gave me nobody. They gave me a friendly every season, to be fair. I've only ever used senior affiliates. I've never used it the other way around. You know, like, being at a bigger club, I've never looked to find a club to loan my players out to. I've not really thought about it, to be fair, to be perfectly honest. One thing I have thought about recently, since the poll, is that maybe we should get an affiliate at Roma, maybe push players to a well-known league that maybe could raise their rep, which could raise their value in the future. I don't know if it works like that, but... yeah, Eddie was just for my charm, to be fair.
I've used them in both cases, really, where I've been a bigger club and a smaller club. I remember using or trying to use it on FM17. I was Aldershot during that save. I can't remember which club it was that I was affiliated with. It was a Premier League club, but again, they just wouldn't really get. They never gave me any players. It was never really of any benefit. And as a bigger club, the only reason I ever do it is because I saw once that if you get an affiliate in the States or in China or something, you might make a few extra quid every year. But it's not really a feature that I've gone into sort of into depths with, really. It's just kind of there in the background, and I'll stick it on without really understanding all the benefits that come with it.
I responded to the poll because obviously it's a feature in the game, but I don't think I'd be very surprised if people use it enough. To be fair, I think it's one of the more underused features in the game. Obviously, lads, correct me if I'm wrong. If you guys use it a lot more, but obviously I've used it before to grab players on loan and whatnot. But I've found in the wall save as well, I've created feeder clubs, because I'm getting a lot of players coming in from abroad as well, which are very good quality players that I do want to still have first team football. So when the board told me to go out and find my own feeder club, I sort of selected the one that I thought was best. So best training facilities, decent youth facilities, decent manager at the time as well. I didn't just click a team because I knew who they were or whatnot. I still wanted to look into that thing. But yeah, I honestly think it's one of the more, well, for me especially, one of the more underused features that I should probably use a lot more. And similar to what Curtie said just then, the corporate side of things as well, getting one in Asia or America, it's definitely, I know there is some sort of factor there where you do get a little bit more money, a little bit more commercial side of things as well.
Yeah, I'm with Dave. I mean, it's really underused knots. I've used them twice to really good effect. In Spain, it's really good. When I was Villarreal, I used to, you know, just go and buy all the wonder kid Brazilians, loan them out to my feeder club, get them kind of. It only takes two seasons for them to become a Spanish national, and then you can just register as many Brazilians as you like. And then with West Ham, they've got Venlo as their parent club, as their feeder club. And again, similar thing, if you wanted to go and get, you know, a young Argentinian or Brazilian, send them out there, get them a work permit, and then obviously they can come back and do your job.
Were you selective about choosing a feeder club at Villarreal, Joe? Was it because, you know, obviously if you're bringing in all these wonder kid Brazilians and sending them out for 2 years, you want their development to be as it would be, I guess, if they were at your club. So did you find that
I had
getting the results you wanted?
I had, I think it was Zaragoza, who obviously have got, you know, a lot of history, a big club that are kind of were lower down in the leagues. And it was more, I just got them out there to get work permits and then I'd get them back. I mean, I'm buying them, getting them in kind of 17, 18, getting them loaned out, getting a work permit, getting them back and still having enough time to develop them.
Joe's sort of touching on a little bit about like the work permit situation, and that that's kind of what I've brought players in for in the past, and I think it's more important probably now with like whether it will be going forward, depending on what happens with Brexit in real life and whether FM continue to proceed with actually including it. But I think it's quite important to be kind of circumvent that to a certain extent and to get players sort of have European nationality, which particularly if you're signing Brazilians who don't have, you know, you have great ability and attributes, but they don't have the necessary passport to actually play for you. Because I've sort of come a cropper recently of signing a couple of younger players who don't have the necessary experience. And so I've had no choice other than to either let them rot or let them leave, because I don't have an affiliate at Blackburn at the moment who I can really loan them to. I've got Accrington and that's it. And that's just a historical one. I've only just got to the Premier League. And I think it's the same for the past few years where I've been at smaller clubs that's taken me so long to get to the pinnacle of whatever sort of country I'm playing in, which ultimately means that I then have to sort of wait to request a foreign affiliate to enable that to be able to be a possibility. And I think in previous games, I've abused it quite a lot to sort of either get work permits or to almost build a second team. And that's something that others have said as well. And I've loved having that because it means that you're getting competitive game time in a different country. Kind of like how Chelsea do now with they famously had like 29 players out on loan or something over the past couple of seasons.
With Vitesse, yeah.
Yeah, in Holland, yeah. I'm looking at some of the comments on the tweet that we put out, and I think it's FM Anton McFarlane, and he says that, to do with the work permits thing as well, I found that I signed someone from Ecuador on my save, and he had good stats, but he couldn't get a work permit. I think in the end, because of how long it took him to get the work permit, it sort of killed him as a player. But I had to loan him out for 2 or 3 years, and then obviously it might be a little bit easier now because, as you mentioned with the Brexit thing, depending on which Brexit situation you can get, it can almost kill work permits altogether. So it's a lot easier to sign players. But in the end, it took me 2 years to get that one lad a work permit. But he's also saying about getting affiliate clubs to build the knowledge of countries for youth intakes as well. So I think that's quite a decent point to make.
Oh, I love Brexit chat. I signed a couple of players in my save this year who I knew wouldn't get work permits, but with only sort of a year to wait until the Brexit hit and we didn't, you know, work permits weren't a thing. I just had a foreign player limit. So that I got them loaned out for that year. So they still had a certain amount of development. It's never something I've really fallen foul of, the work permit thing. The scouting range thing though is interesting. I'd never thought to use the affiliate tool to increase scouting knowledge.
And I think that's whether that actually is a thing or not. I don't know. It's like you, Curti. It's not really something I pay that much attention to. I guess you get because you do get a report from an affiliate club to say I remember it from when I was at Recreativo, where you get a yearly report, or at least I think it's maybe even transfer window sort of middle of every or start of every transfer window, you get sort of a list of suggested players who are available for loan or that you can bring in. Because I used to get quite a hefty list from Pescara when I was at Recreativo, and I don't think I had a scout assigned to sort of scout Pescara. I think it was just a case of the assistant manager came to me with this bunch of players that I might want to sign. Most of them were complete pish, but there were some standouts, and I did continue to sign them year after year. And in fact, I did sign a couple permanently after that point. That was a really fruitful, I can't say fruitful, brilliant, fruitful partnership for me whilst I was in sort of the lower reaches of Spain. In fact, some of those players I loaned in my very first season, and by the time I got to La Liga, they were starting for me under contract, which I think that's... I don't know if it's just how the sort of the Spain model works, purely because they do have like their B teams feature in their league structure. So it might be just that naturally that's what happens, because effectively they treat their B teams as sort of internal affiliates almost.
I think in our own saves at the moment, with the situations that we're all in, we're all at pretty decent clubs, sort of top or second tier clubs anyway. And I think this sort of affiliate, the whole sort of thing, is a lot more beneficial for obviously the smaller teams, for the Conference League 2 level sort of teams, because obviously getting your senior or parent club or whatever you want to call them, obviously it's a good source of income to get them in if you've got a big club, a good way to get obviously your loan players in as well. So I think with us, the only sort of positives I can feel as a big side is commercially around the world, as you'd say, getting them in Asia or America, and then maybe as a feeder club to loan players out to. But I think as a whole, affiliate clubs are probably a lot more beneficial for a smaller team, as a lot of people are saying, responding to the tweet that we put out.
I don't know. I'm going to try. I think because at Forest we don't have... I'll tell a lie. We've got one in Ireland, I think, an affiliate club, but I think I'm going to test that scouting knowledge thing, because I don't think I've got any scouts covering sort of Asia, Japan, you know, China, Japan, places like that. So I might try and get an affiliate over there and see if that increases the scouting knowledge.
He put as well that it can sometimes affect the youth intake. So it'll be good long term to see, even if you chuck it in quite an obscure country, to see if you get anyone come through in your youth intake. I've definitely had it before where I've had people come from Malta, but I don't think I had any feeder teams in Malta, so I'm not sure how that came about. But a lot of the time, probably 99%, I'm getting all English players come through the intake anyway.
I've tried this year to sort of not abuse it too much. Like I had Arsenal as an affiliate up until this season because we're now in the same division. And I think I had Enny Nketiah on loan twice and barely played him because he was awful for me, despite Dupe's success. I've had Ryan Sessegnon, who was equally as bad, despite his attributes actually being quite good. I think the only successful inbound transfer I had from Arsenal was Christian Bielik, who I had as a centre-half, and he was very good. But then he wouldn't then rejoin me, which was supremely annoying because he was a standout player and easily first name on the team sheet, certainly in defence, and was... I ended up selling Charlie Mulgrew on the back of his success there. But I like the idea of trying to almost cultivate a second team. The under-23s league it's awful in terms of experience, and I would much rather have the ability to loan players out to a competitive side. I think the issue is when you go to approach the board to get an affiliate club, unless you've got a certain level of reputation with them and you've been there for a while, you don't get a choice in the route you take, which can be a bit frustrating. And sometimes I've had Venkis just outright dismiss anything. They say, you've already got Accrington, deal with it. And bearing in mind, you've got to, if they get relegated, the players you then loan to them may either reject the move because their reputation is higher than the club that you're trying to loan them to, or the level that they're playing at isn't getting them relevant experience, and then you always get the messages when they come back from loan saying they've learnt nothing, etc., blah blah blah, and they're not particularly happy, and they're glad to be back despite them going to be sort of rotting in the reserves for the next 2 years of their youth contract.
Oh yeah, the mentioning that, I remember on Saves where obviously you join in and then you'd ask for a feeder or parent club and they would agree. And they said, oh yeah, we'll come back in a few weeks with a suitable club. And then you wait for ages, and then said, unfortunately, we haven't found a suitable club. And they're like, fuck, I've waited this long, you can't even find
it. There's 92 there. In the league, yeah. Make your minds yeah. up.
And yeah. and the rest from around the world as well, so it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it can get a bit annoying. I take it no one else has had much success with when it comes to actually requesting the board to actually provide you with an affiliate. Because I certainly haven't.
Yeah, I think the key is, like, I mean, you'll get a few suggestions. A lot of them will be duds at the start, but if you've got any kind of reputation within the club, they generally let you choose your own, don't they? So, or suggest your own, at least. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, when I switch on my Forest save next, I'll be able to do that.
I suppose the last point I'll touch on is we've said it benefits the lower clubs quite significantly, or can do, depending on how much you're willing to abuse it. But there is also a small financial incentive as well for a lower club to get that, because the senior affiliate does pay them a small fee, and also then you have, depending on the arrangement, you can also get the yearly friendly as well. And so I'd imagine, as a particularly if you're in the conference or maybe even League Two, that sort of big friendly, if you manage to get an Arsenal, if you barn it or something like that, getting a friendly at the Emirates plus whatever the 60 grand or whatever it is a year fee just to have the arrangement in place is probably quite handy, because I'd imagine you'd get a fair, you know, you get all the, or at least half the gate plus that's 120k for something that's entirely non-competitive and doesn't really matter, as well as not necessarily having to pay players' wages. That's also one thing I've noticed, that once you go further up, even if you're not in the same division as the affiliate, the wage that they're willing to let them go for tends to creep up a little bit as well, and they expect you to pay or contribute more to that player's wage.
I found that in the start of the Forest Green, we were lucky enough to get United. To get a team as United on a yearly friendly was fantastic. But we actually, I don't know whether this is something that you can actually negotiate, or whichever club you get, you get a better deal. But we actually got a home friendly with 100% gate receipt, which was okay. I mean, we only had 3,000 capacity at the time, but I think it's a very good cash cow. It really is. Even if you don't intend to take the players from them, or there's no players that you want to loan, I still recommend taking it, because they do, like Matt says, they do pay you, and you do get that friendly that is always good.
I actually don't think there is an option to negotiate things in an affiliate club, you know. I'm pretty sure it just says the info there and there. So I'm not sure if it's what you suggest to the board in the initial meeting, you know, how sometimes you say, oh, I want it to increase our profile in another country, or want something to loan our players out to. But yeah, that's a shout, actually. There's no option whatsoever to negotiate any sort of thing like that.
I can only assume it's a preset per team. You know, if it's a very rich team, they're going to go, we're not going to argue over 4 grand of gate receipts. I don't know. But yeah, we were quite lucky with that.
Oh, I think we've covered some good little points. And thank you very much for all of you for your contributions. They're very much well received, and they've sort of helped us structure this quite nicely, I think. But of course, it's ready for probably everyone's favourite part of the pod. There may be no cheerleaders in skimpy skirts or local odd balls trying to hit the crossbar with an oversized inflatable, but we do have Curtis Quiz.
Everyone's favourite part of the pod. Right then, this week's quiz theme will come of little surprise, given the topic of the team talk. We are focusing on players who have been out on loan during their career. Usual rules apply. First to shout in gets the first opportunity to answer the question. If you get the question wrong, you're subject to the -1 Viking Dan rule and 1 point for a correct answer. Is everyone ready?
Yes.
Excellent. Then we shall start, as normal, with question one. Which Swansea winger found himself picking up a Premier League winner's medal whilst on loan during the 2015-2016 season?
Nerd. Nathan Dyer?
Is correct. 1 point.
Great shout.
Who's he playing for then?
Leicester. I was trying to work out who won it then.
I was about to say Scott Sinclair, but I'm sure he was always permanent at Swansea, wasn't he?
Oh.
It's a good job I didn't jump in.
Never be scared to jump in, Dave.
No, son. Never got records to the keep. Last 2 weeks.
I think we should change the rule to the Dave has a party rule, to be honest.
Yeah.
Question number two. Early in his career, before he was one of their own, Tottenham were happy to let a young Harry Kane go out on loan 4 times. Name one of the clubs. Dupe, that was.
Norwich.
Norwich is correct. Could have also had Leighton Orient, Millwall or Leicester City. Question number three. Which then future England striker scored in 10 consecutive matches?
Joe.
Jermaine Defoe
is correct. Question number four. Which striker, whilst on loan from Helsingborg,
Dave
picked up Dave?
Henrik Larsson, sorry, I lagged.
Is correct, Henrik Larsson.
Google.
Which legendary striker, question five, was loaned to Chelsea from AC Milan in 2000?
Nerd. Oh, no.
You got to go with it.
You got to.
It's wrong. It's no. I'll just take the minus one.
Joe. George Ware.
George Ware is correct.
I can't believe
you went Shevchenko, didn't you?
No. I got the transfer the wrong way around. I was going to go Crespo, and then I was like, no, he was a permanent transfer.
Did you know that George Ware has recently been elected the president of Liberia?
Liberia, yeah.
Mental. Question number six: Romelu Lukaku.
Joe
has had Joe.
West Brom.
Mental. That is correct.
Oh, I thought there'd be a leading question. I thought it was going to be about the 5-5 against United last game of the season. Just thought
that is brave. Brave.
I like it.
I might say stupid.
Audacious.
I'm going to go with
very
brave.
Audacious. I like it.
Question number seven: which versatile big-haired Spaniard swapped glamorous Real Madrid to play under Joe?
Ivan Campo
is correct. This man's on fire.
Not allowed on the pod anymore. Ban him.
Question number eight. Football Manager legend Robbie Keane was loaned to Leeds in 2001 from which club?
Nerd. Inter Milan.
Is correct. Question number nine. Prior to permanently signing with the Toffees, Mikel Arteta joined the Merseyside club on loan from which Spanish side? I'll give you a clue. They're in Basque.
Nerd.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Real Sociedad.
Is correct.
Do you know what? I had that in my mind. I was going, it's the same one as Xavi Alonso. Da 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 da.
Question number 10. According to FIFA's player rankings, this man who signed on loan for Wigan in 2008 was rated the best striker in the world at the time.
Nerd. Amir Zaki.
Great shout.
Correct. Right, all 10 questions answered. Let's have some results. In joint third place, with 1 point apiece, no minus points this week for Mr. Dave Azzopardi, and 1 point for Fat Man Dupe as well. Congrats, guys. Second place, that minus one cost him on 3 points, is Nerd Phonic. Well done, Matt.
It's the same as last week, isn't it?
And out on his own, 4 points, Friday Night FM. Congratulations.
Well done, Joe.
Footballs your bag.
That was a great quiz, Christoph.
Very good.
Enjoyed that muchly. Thank you very much. Right. It's time for your questions then, because we've just had Curtis. So we're going to start off with Mr. Cookie FM, or it's at Cookie FM underscore on Twitter. He does ask a question. I'm going to paraphrase it because it's a bit of a mess, that he's rightfully admitted, to be fair. And he's basically asking about if you're going to stop a save, would you start a brand new save, or do you resign from your current job and then start searching for a new job within the same save universe? Now, this is perfect, almost readily made for Joseph. Go ahead, sir.
Always start a new save until the current save I'm on now. And I'm pretty sure I kind of put a poll on Twitter and said, do I resign or do I start a new save? Everyone kind of come back and said, no, just resign. So I went from Arsenal to Swansea, done the same thing, left Swansea, and I've now ended up at West Ham. And I'll tell you what, it's the best save I've had on FM18, and probably getting close to the Villarreal save on FM17.
Have you got anyone sort of lined up for a shirt yet?
Oh, I haven't really dragged anyone along with me yet. I've signed Dodo twice, the right back from Shakhtar. I signed him at Swansea, and then I've re-signed him for West Ham. But I've just got a young Australian, Mazzala, and he's got an excellent name, which I can't remember at the moment. He's a new gen, but I think he's going to be exceptional, and he could be in line for a shirt if he carries on.
I like this. I like this a lot. My little tip for anyone who is struggling to get into a save, and it's something that I usually deploy around this sort of time in the game's lifespan. If you don't want, like, bear in mind, if you've had a few saves, you've already know sort of generally what players are available and all of the usual gumph that goes with the start of a save. If you want to avoid that, go on a holiday for a season, maybe two, then it will be completely different to what you're used to. And you'll probably enjoy the save more because there'll have been all sorts of different transfers. The AI doesn't always make the same transfers. And also, you'll have two seasons worth, potentially, of promotions and relegations. So the lie of the land in that Football Manager universe will be completely different to what you're used to. And then, you know, you can pick up it, the narrative will write itself for you. You can then pick up someone who's been relegated down a couple of times and pick them up from League Two and get them back to where they once were, or any other number of different permutations of scenarios that may well have occurred. But it's a good way to sort of inject life back into a game that's now 9 or 10 months old. Next question is from Ted Redwood Gaming, or at Ted Red Gaming on Twitter. Do you ever have an unsellable player? Not as in I'd take 200 million and nothing less, but literally you would not sell him full stop.
No, everyone's got a price.
I know what Joe's answer is as well.
Exactly the same. If if the money's right, the deal gets done.
I think, I don't know whether I'm a sap and I like a little bit of a love story, but I think if the love's there, how could you sell him? How could you get rid of him if you love him that much? If he's that player that just gets you out of the bother every time, or is just the one you can rely on, he's there every year, why would you turn your back on him? You heartless gits. But yeah, I'd say everyone's got a price, mate. Chucking a Kit Kat, I'll sell anyone to you.
There has to be an amount of money that you'd accept. So, I don't know, say you owned Eddie and Ketcher.
I do own Eddie and Ketcher, but yeah, go on.
All right. You own Eddie and Ketcher?
Yep.
How much money would it take for some, you know?
I mean, we're all sat on camera at the moment, so you won't, the viewers at home won't get this, but I'm sat like the Dr. Evil, and $1 trillion, and that's how much I'd sell him for.
Come on, if someone came in, 150 million, you'd bite their arm off.
No.
At Forest Green, I think you would have to.
I'd bite my arm off for 150.
Literally.
So, right, even if you don't want to sell him, I have a feeling the board would come up from underneath you and just rip your hands off for you.
I would say, I'd find it incredibly hard. I think I would resign if they sold him. It doesn't matter now, I do play the save offline, but if he was to be sold and the board whipped that carpet underneath my feet, you know, took the wedding ring off and put it on the side, I would leave too. I'd follow him to wherever he went, i.e. the sunset.
Oh, very romantic of you. I think I kind of agree with every player has their price, and generally, once they start getting to the point of they're reaching 30, I tend to start looking to offer them anyway to someone else, purely because their transfer value is going to be dwindling. If I've been fortunate enough to have sort of had other offers, then my head may be turned, or their head may have been turned, sort of, which means that their performances drop anyway. So there's, you know, it's quite a difficult question to give a straight answer to, I guess, really, for me. But so I've got a foot in both camps. I'm doing a Curti, I know, but I'll get over it.
I'm off the fence on this one, son.
Makes a change. And the final question we've got this week is from Pennard Hill Parker Monkey. What a bloody mouthful that is. At @nicknick_88 on Twitter. I've played Football Manager since 2005, and I found this game harder than any other, and I'm starting to look into all the features I've glossed over the last few years. Any advice for an inexperienced player wanting to look deeper into tactics?
Easy. Just, you need to look at affiliate clubs. Rewind about half hour and I'll help you out.
Serious answer is probably, and I know this is going to sound a bit corny, but actually watch some streams. See if you pick stuff up that people do differently. You know, I haven't looked at that. I find when I watch them, there's always something that someone does differently. And I think, I'll give that a try. So, you know, watching some streams, watching some YouTube content, there might be the odd blog about it, but not as interesting as watching something live, I think. But yeah, that's what I would do.
Yeah, I was about to say the same. Watching other people, and that's what I did last year, and I learned so much just watching other YouTubers and so on as well. And if you are still really struggling so much, just go back to the basics, strip the whole team, start from a really basic formation and just build from there, really. Start changing a few roles or changing a few positions and just see how it goes slowly.
Dave, I can only but echo that. I think just concentrating at the back, work your way up to the top, as basic as possible, and then just put three up top and you'll be fine. But I think personally, again, Joe, just be happy to take inspiration from others. There's a lot of really good tacticians out there that play the game, whether it is a written format or a verbal format or even a video format. There's a lot out there, so just get out there and hashtag it and find somebody good.
I highly recommend watching the streams of FM Doop and putting on every single tactical instruction.
Yeah, don't do that.
But does it work? I think it does, yeah. Yeah,
they contradicted each other.
It works. Does it work?
Alternatively, you can have sort of one thing I would say don't try and do is try to apply entirely football based logic, because there are some discrepancies between sort of football and Football Manager. So use the hints that you have available to you, but don't base your decisions solely on them. Also, a really simple one, and it's one out of the Cleon handbook, I think, and it's, if you are struggling tactically, watch matches, watch things unfold. Does the player that you've set in that particular role or that particular duty do what he's supposed to be doing? So read the description. That will give you a hand for each role and each duty. If that player is not doing that, try and work out why. Is it because of the opposition doing something? Is it because of the player's PPM that is causing him to deviate from what he's supposed to be doing? Is there one of your other teammates or other players are getting in his way or not doing their job? There's all of these why questions that you can ask yourself, but you can only really see this unfolding if you watch it either in comprehensive or, dare I say it, full match. And that's what Cleon always goes on about. So anyone who's struggling tactically, actually watch it unfold and see what happens, because then you can start making decisions based on what you see and not necessarily on advice from someone else. Bearing in mind, not everyone has exactly the same team as you. You have completely different players potentially to anyone else. So actually paying attention to what happens in your game with your players is probably the best thing you could ever do. It doesn't matter whether you know an enormous amount about football or not, but ultimately, if you read what they should be doing and they're not doing it, try and find out why.
And yeah, you kind of touched on it there. I was going to say, although I said, you know, reading stuff can be a little bit boring compared to watching it, Cleon has a lot of, you know, good articles on his website, Tian Busquets. There was also a good scouting one I read from FM Football Manager. So there are some good stuff out there. It wasn't a dig.
I always say that when I start a save and I try and look at a new tactic, nerd, exactly what you said, I just strip it, 2D it, full match it, find it. Absolutely what you said. Echo that. Jazz.
Marvellous. Well, thank you once again for all of your questions. It means that, we can fill out a QA section, but also we really enjoy the interaction. And sometimes I'm quite sure that there's lots of other people that have these exact same questions that maybe are a bit too scared to actually ask them publicly. Very much like putting your hand up when you're at school. But never mind. Hopefully we've helped some people out with those answers. And continue to put your questions to us, either by tweeting us at 5StarPod or by dropping it in the 5-star potential section on the WeStream FM Discord. Right, it's just about time for us to dispart, disappear, whatever, any of those words will probably do. Mr. Kurtdog, where can people find you?
Twitch and Twitter, KurtyFM.
Marvellous. Mr. Friday Night FM, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Friday Night FM.
Marvellous. Dave Azzopardi, what about you?
Dave Azzopardi on YouTube and Twitter, and Dave Azzopardi FM whenever I happen to be streaming on Twitch.
Fantastiche. Mr. Dupe, where can people find you?
FM Dupe, everywhere you go.
Beautiful. And you can find me at Nerdphonic absolutely everywhere too. Lovely. That was nice. I quite liked that. That was a nice, slick and smooth operation. Fantastic. As usual, you can find the links for each of us in the description of this very podcast, as is the link to join the WeStream FM Discord server. If you haven't joined it, then please bloody well do so. If you've enjoyed the pod, then please leave us a review on iTunes, as it really helps us out. If you're a SoundCloudite, then please drop us a follow on there and you'll be notified of when we next upload a pod, which is 8 a.m. Monday morning, every single bloody week. The 5-Star Potential Podcast is also available on most other popular podcast apps. This has been 5-Star Potential, a WeStream FM production, and we'll see you all next week. Say goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.
Here we are. Goodbye.